This next guest was a Marine and had a couple of bad days, so it shortened his Marine Corps career, but he still helps out the community in other ways. He's like a good guy that works at the DMV, and I'm not saying there's a lot of bad people that work there, but I am saying I don't know how you could work at a place like that without murdering everybody. And so far, this guy does not have a confirmed kill, neither as a Marine nor at the DMV, so God bless him, and I hope you dig Ken. He's a good dude. He's a comedian, and let's cue that CB song and get this show going. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with...
My name's Ken Mottard, M-O-T-T-A-R-D, in case you want to know how to spell it.
Yeah, we just had to go through that whole fun thing so I can make sure I tagged it all on Facebook and stuff like that. And if you don't know, this is also, the audio is going to be on Civilianization Podcast, where you can find all platforms of, or you can find all podcasts on all platforms, or whatever the fuck they say. I don't know. I know you're supposed to say click like and subscribe, or... And then plug sponsors or whatever, but my sponsors are just you guys. Thank you for letting me come through with this and with you as a Marine Corps veteran. Thanks for your service, man. And
my pleasure.
Hell yeah. So when what years did you serve?
I graduated high school on a Friday, was in Marine Corps boot camp on a Wednesday in 1985.
Oh, shit.
And I did 4 years, well, a little less than 4 years, because me and the Marine Corps had a difference of opinion.
Okay.
They did not think I should drink a fifth of Jack Daniels every day. I disagreed.
Should have been a CB, because that was kind of encouraged.
It was for a while, but but things, you start missing movement or getting accused of it, and they tend to get a little pissy about that. But.
How can you get accused and not do it?
Okay, fine.
I'm just wondering.
Well, they do a head count, and I go here, but I'm still sleep, you know, in the bed.
Yeah, you could send a smoke signal from the barracks. You're like, oh, man, dude, I'm back here, man.
Yeah, by the shirt, I was actually on barracks duty. That was a good call.
Pomflant Marines.
Yeah, it was...
What's that mean?
Goose Creek, South Carolina. It was...
Okay.
You got Charleston right here. Then right next to Charleston is the Naval Weapons Station, where our job was to fit all of your ships for the nuclear warheads whenever they deployed out of the East Coast.
So your ships, man. You get Marines. Or you got?
Oh, that's right. You're a CB. You don't even know what a ship is.
Yeah, you work with old pal of mine, Russ Broadhead.
Yeah.
I'm sure at this point, he would have schooled you on CBs never going on ships.
Right. I said shipped him one day. He was like,
what's that?
I think I did a cruise. I'm like, on what? He was like, on a princess. I was like, you bastard.
Yeah, I'm like, My ship experience was like one time, I took tours because they're there, but one time I did go on a cruise. It was from Puerto Rico to the 3 miles off of there is like Viegas Island, and we had to go to the range. I think it might have been 3 miles there and back, actually, and they're called ferries or something. Uh-huh. But when you're like in the Marines, you said Charleston?
Yeah.
That's where, dude, what do you think of Charleston?
It's been, I got out in 89, so it's.
Okay. Just a couple days ago.
I went back to my unit's reunion 2 years ago, and it has grown up a lot.
Really?
Yeah, it's a much bigger city. The bridges that go from over the bays or whatever are much more sturdy now.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, it was like.
It's going to fall over or something like that?
You know,
like
a good wind or a strong fart and you're losing somebody.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen now. Like, because my mom, she was a nurse at Broward Health in Fort Lauderdale for fucking decades now at this point. Nice. And she took a job in Charleston. And that's why I was wondering what Charleston was like, because now she's at some school, some university there. She's like one of the nursing...
Last time we were there, except for getting
that means.
Except for like raining sideways for about 25 minutes.
Oh, okay. So that's not like Okinawa.
Yeah. It was it's a beautiful city. It's quiet. It's, there's just, they make BMWs there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. One of my buddies, my roommate, his wife is a senior forklift driver for the BMW plant.
Okay. That's cool, man.
And he's a commercial fisherman.
Yeah, so I want to ask that dude who's a senior BMW manufacturer, whatever, how come they haven't figured out how to install turn signals into the vehicles yet, because like I obviously has to be an optional feature at one or something for BMWs.
Dude,
like,
driving down from Camarillo, I think it's optional in most vehicles these days.
Yeah, especially the Prius. The Prius or the BMW, one of the two. I don't know. So what's your hometown?
I live in Camarillo.
Like, where'd you grow up? Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Sonoma County, California.
Okay.
Little town called Santa Rosa. It's about 48 minutes past the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, okay. Got you. It's up there, man. That's pretty.
It's gorgeous.
Hell yeah. And then what made you say, you know, fuck this place, I'm going to the Marines? I know you went in on a Wednesday. Signed on a Wednesday and left on a Friday.
I never did any college entrance exams. If I didn't get a scholarship to play ball, to play soccer or baseball, I wasn't going because my grades were not, my attention span was not good enough to keep my grades where they needed to be.
Right. I get
that. And then I went to Marines because I was going to follow in the old man's footsteps and go in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
He was a sub-sailor for 22 and a half years and then a recruiter for 5. And I walked into the Navy guy's office and he was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm too busy to talk to anybody.
Okay.
In fairness, though, they had dropped the recruiting staff for 8 high schools up in the Bay, up in that area, from 5 recruiters to 2.
Right. And that's...
So he was very busy and I get that, but it's like, dude, I'm walking in to come talk to you. And then I became a smartass and went, Chief, you see all those plaques on the back wall right there for Recruiter of the Year from 79 to 84? Or to 78 through 81? He's like, yeah, what's the name? Senior Chief Pat Moddard. Here's my ID. Ah, fuck.
Hey, Dad, go have a talk to this little fucking... Yeah. He shows up. Hey, you boot. What are you doing?
And the recruiting office was like most of them now. You had Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, all in one location. And Gunny was waiting for me when I came out of the office. He's like, come here, let's have a talk.
Come on.
So, but I didn't go talk to Gunny first. I went to talk to the Army, and they pretty much just flat out lied to me.
Okay. What did they lie to you about?
They said that I could be an MP at 18 years old. And I was like, only if I go overseas, and there's no guarantee I go overseas. I can't go into a bar at 18 in the United States.
Right.
Oh, but you're a cop. You can do that. I'm like, no, I can't.
Really?
Because my next door neighbor's a cop.
You're like, no. Okay. So, that I didn't know.
Yeah, they lied. They looked at my ASVAB scores, and they said I could do A, B, C, or D. And I went home and talked to my dad. He only been out a couple of years. He was like, you can't do that. You don't qualify high enough to that. Because if you'd have fucking applied yourself, you could have done that. But no. So a couple of days later, I went to drop a friend off at the Coast Guard office, and Gunny was like, weren't you here yesterday? I was like, 2 days ago, but yeah.
Yeah, close enough.
But and then he was like, okay, so you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, but you can do all of these. Which would you like? I'm like, I don't know. So you want to go open contract? Okay. Don't ever do that.
Yeah, I highly advise. I was just talking about that on my last podcast. I had this one dude named Har. Awesome dude. Kick-ass motherfucker. But there's a program where it's like open contract, technically. Like you go in without a job, but right. You have a guaranteed school in like, I don't know, 6 months to a year or something. But never do that, man.
No, they just fill a hole.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. You show up and they're like, well, it's not so much, oh, would you like to try these different departments? Oh, come on.
Go check out being a cook for a while. If you don't like that, go clean guns. I'm like, no, just... What?
Are you a PFC when you graduate boot camp?
I actually was because I went in. I had a couple of friends that joined with me.
Okay.
So we went in on the buddy program. So,
PFC, come here. Come on. Hey, check out these mortars. Do you want to do mortars?
And that's what I did.
Want to play with howitzers? Let's do this. Hey, are you mortars. Good with land? Do you like the park? Let's do land nav.
You know? They're like, can you balance that bubble between these two lines and make sure this is balanced correctly? Why, yes, I can, because I was doing a little bit of construction before I went in.
I was like, I was doing drywall, motherfucker.
And I was doing water treatment for my dad. And we had to make sure everything was level for the water flows correctly and shit like that. And they're like, well, then you can do a mortar. What's a mortar? You see those things that blow up fireworks? Yeah, we can do that. Cool.
It'd be funny, though, if you did block, and you're like, oh, cool, then you can do mortar. And you're sitting here thinking, like, oh, okay, cool, so I'll just be mixing mud for the guys doing fucking work. And you're like, no, that's not the mortar we're talking about, fool.
Problem I had is when I got out of the Marine Corps, there was no civilian jobs for a mortarman. And that was like 15 years later, I went, oh, shit, I could have done fireworks. That would have been a great career.
Yeah. No doubt. Like, and then you get a job over at, what do you call it, fucking the Angel Stadium or Dodgers Disneyland. Or Disneyland or something like that. Or, yeah, at the end of the night, that's what you're doing. You're like, yep. Every day is a holiday.
Every day I get to go boom, boom.
And a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom with the fireworks, yo. And then where did you have to, like, go to boot camp then? Was it?
MCRD San Diego.
Oh, San Diego. That's crazy. So you started in San Diego and ended up on the East Coast.
Yeah, because I told the recruiters to get me to fuck off the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
That'll do it. You know, you have a dad, and sometimes, I don't know about your dad, but sometimes me and my dad butted heads from time to time.
Right.
Daytime, nighttime, awake time.
All times, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, just get me off the West Coast, and then we go to, I don't care where, just get me off the West Coast. And I landed in this beautiful metropolis called Goose Creek, South Carolina.
Cool.
So or as they say it there, Goose Creek.
Goose Creek. Before, yeah, like, that's what I love about the East Coast and certain places in Nolens, New Orleans. Norfolk is Norfolk or Norfolk.
Yeah.
Portsmouth is Portsmouth. You know, like all these other places where it's like you try to pronounce them anywhere else or you read them on the side of a train. And you're like, Norfolk and Southern. No, it's Norfolk or Norfolk, depending on who you ask. Or which local part of town you're in. If you're in Ghent, it's not fuck. If you're like close to like Virginia Beach, it's not fick. So anyway, so but before you got to place, proper pronunciation well in the, proper pronunciation in the East Coast. But so you did boot camp and your schooling all in.
Yeah, boot camp was at MCRD San Diego, and then mortar school was at Pendleton.
It's cool. Anything crazy happened in boot camp or A school or not? Well, MOS school.
I know
or
what
whatever
you mean.
You
I know
it.
What you mean by A school. Remember, I'm a Navy brat.
Yeah.
We had, now, I don't know if he's listening, but my little buddy Lugo, he was a mortarman as well.
Oh, yeah, me and Ludo, we go way back. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He posted earlier today. You better get some, that's why you're here.
Yeah. Somebody had a hang fire.
Yeah.
In their mortar, which is never a good thing because he didn't punch the board good enough. Lugo was on gun A, and I was on gun C, and gun B had the hang fire. I look over, and in 33 seconds, Lugo had dug a hole 2 feet deep and was gone. Just couldn't find him anywhere. Hang fire, cease fire, people, run away from your guns. And we're like, right. The fuck is Lugo? And he pops up with his helmet like, did you get it cleared yet? And he went back down like a turtle.
Does everybody have a Lugo from New York? New York?
He's from San Diego.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because it's like there's always like a Lugo, and he's from fucking New York. You usually have like, you know,
little Puerto Rican, but they're all the Lugos I know are Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, so there's some way or another he came from New York New York en route from Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Okay, got you. That makes sense now. All right, and then you go. Well, that's one way to dig fighting positions or foxholes, depending on what years you come in. And so what year was that you were? 85. And then you go from there to the East Coast. How was that transition, man? Pretty easier.
So luckily for me, I grew up in a small town up in Northern California.
Yeah.
Past the bridge. So, yeah, San Francisco, Sonoma County, where all the good table wines come from. So for me, going on the East Coast, only thing different was the language, you know, because I didn't know what jeep and yantu. I didn't know what those sentences were.
Yeah,
you know, but once I got there, but the other part was, I borrowed my roommate's car one night and broke down. I'm not a car guy, never have been.
Okay,
I'm the youngest one of all my friends. My car ran perfectly because they all took auto shop.
Yeah, and then plus, you know, like, you didn't grow up on the farm where
I have to
make this tractor or whatever
like
work.
I wasn't on the side of the road maybe 3-4 minutes, and some good old boy in his pickup truck with a toolbox in the back, pop the hood, son, let me take a look. Right. And if that's in San Francisco or L.A., you leave the car, it's stripped in 5 minutes. You know, ain't nobody stopping to help.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
And back then, there was a nice little clean air time frame, short-lived. But now we're back at it.
Yeah, well, the pandemic cleaned up there for a couple of years, but now, because nobody could go anywhere.
Yeah.
But now everybody's back to work or back doing whatever they're doing. And
now your cars are getting stolen.
Like 46 miles from your house to mine. It took me an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like Camarillo. And we're both like right off the 101, too. Right. That's the funny part. I'm like literally.
The 101's like 2 blocks. I go out to like get back in my car, I get back on the 101, and I'm home.
Well, it's right here. If I took a 9 iron. I probably need more like a 7. If I took, I could use a 7-iron and I could hit fucking cars.
Nice.
From the end of my porch. As long as I can clear that fence, which I can, then we're good. Not that I've done it before.
I know nothing about
physically that. Done it before. I've done it mentally before several times. But yeah, I think about 7. I'd say if I was close, end of my driveway, 9-iron. On the other side of the road, pitch and wedge.
Yeah.
But right here in front of my house, 7-iron. I can fucking hit that. Mm-hmm. I don't even golf much anymore. Yeah, I can still think about
that. I have not golfed maybe 3 times.
You know, it's a trip. Going to military installations is the golf courses. Remember back in the day, that was like one of the biggest things.
Right.
And then now it's kind of like gone. Gulfport, Mississippi doesn't have one anymore. Freaking Port Hueneme, they went from 18 holes to 9.
Ooh.
So it's just like, you know, and that back 9 was really nice.
Is that
nice.
Because of housing, or is that just because
just they're putting different work people aren't in? Golfers like they used to be. You know, golf used to be a thing. Now it's like, well, let's go to Xbox. Or I don't know. I could be wrong, but
people don't want to be outside.
But that's part of it. And it's like, I don't want to go anywhere. You know, people are probably sitting there like, I don't want to leave the house, though. I don't know.
Let's play golf on the Xbox.
Yeah, it was like, I got the Tiger Woods where his wife hits him with the club game. You know, come back here. And it's cool, too, because there's a mode where you get the car and you drive a real car into a tree. But you have to hit it dead center. And then if the tree falls right under the passenger side, life's good. But nice. If it could fall on you, but that's okay. You have 7 continues. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making up this game or pitching it to somebody right now that might be able to develop it.
Either way works.
So
either way works.
So 80. So we're talking 85 now.
And you're I got out in late 80. I got out in 88. Should have got out in 89, but the discharge I got was for it wasn't the best.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It wasn't the worst.
But before you got that discharge, what you do in the meantime? That dash between 85, so 85 and 89.
There were three. There were technically 4 units on barracks duty.
Okay.
There was 1st, 2nd, 3rd battalion, and then convoy. And convoy's job was to, whenever ships were leaving or coming, was to go pick up or drop off weapons to the boats that were coming in and off.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes convoy was light, so they had to pull people from 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. And the way duty schedule was, you worked 36 on, 36 off, 36 on. Every third weekend was a 3-day. So, you know, and being in South Carolina was kind of cool because we would hit Florida. We would hit New York because it's only really a 6-hour drive to,
yeah, that's
to
a
New
sweet
York.
Spot,
it's
man.
A 4-hour drive to Florida. And I, the first time I did that, I was baffled because I grew up in California.
Right.
And it's like, it's a 6-hour drive from L.A. to San Francisco.
Right.
You know, and I'm an hour further where I grew up, right? And San Diego's an hour south of here. And my buddies were like, no. I'm like, yeah, get out a map, bro. There's 3 states on the West Coast.
Yeah.
They're like, no. I'm like, yeah, Washington, Oregon, California. That's it. You guys have 16. You know, if you count Delaware, which nobody does, but.
Oh, that's right. Delaware, huh?
Delaware's like that big.
Yeah.
It's almost a small little Rhode Island.
Part of it's like where? I mean, half the title is.
Right.
Where?
Delaware? Yeah. But, you know, so I found the East Coast very different than the West Coast in the sense of attitude.
Yeah.
You know, and again, this is the 80s, so there wasn't as much hustle and bustle as there is now. But it was a very chill, very relaxed, very, oh, you're in the Marine Corps? Cool. Come on, I'll buy you a beer. Oh, come on over for dinner. You know, strangers. Whereas, like, even in the 80s, I grew up in a time frame, I'm a little older than you, I grew up in a time frame where my mother would literally walk out the front door. My elementary school was 2 blocks down the street. She would go, yep, made it, and then she'd go back in the house and go to work. Bad part about that is, well, a lot of, my dad was active duty, which is why she had to work.
Yeah.
Bad part about that is that a lot of moms back in that time frame were stay-at-home moms, and they... I'm friends with you, so I'm at your house for dinner twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if I fucked up in school, every mom, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Every mom, and my mom would go, Mrs. Ross hit you? Yeah. Miss O'Brien hit you? Yeah. Come on in, you're good. You know, it was like, and nobody cared.
You're good.
Right? Yeah, nobody cared. Nobody went knocking on Mrs. O'Brien's door going, you don't ever put your fucking hands on my kid again. You know what I mean? It's like, that's just kind of,
right.
You know, the parents back then, if you came to my house for dinner, you got treated the same way me and my sister did.
Well, that's back with the village mentality, you know, which is really good. You know, it takes a village to raise a child or whatever.
If,
but yeah.
If my parents said we're going to have dinner, then we're going to Baskin Robbins for ice cream. Josh, are you allergic to ice cream? Why now? Okay, cool. Come with us. You know,
and 2 hours later. Hey, why is your kid peeing out of his butt? You know, he's lactose intolerant. Yeah. Everybody's intolerant of something nowadays too. Because back then, nobody was lactose intolerant or allergic to peanuts.
Right, and it also used to be back in the day too, where I'd go, "Hey, Josh, we're going on vacation for a couple of days. Can you grab the mail, feed the dogs for me?"
Yeah, no problem. Totally, man.
You know, now it's like, "Who are you? I've been living next door to you for 9 years. Yeah. What the fuck you mean? Who am I?"
Yeah, you know, I get that. Like, you've seen the small, slight homeless encampment out here. I get new neighbors a lot of times,
probably weekly.
Yeah, which is funny because they'll clean that out. But like the ones in the front, those guys are cool. And then the ones right here just moved out. So it's like, but everybody else on that whole side of the street don't even know. And every once in a while I'll wave and they'll be like,
"All right,
what the fuck? Yeah. What are you waving at me for?" But yeah, the Midwest and then the South too. I loved, I really enjoyed my time in Virginia Beach. I know it gets a bad rap and like our rivals, you know, cause you work with Russ. So you understand the whiny me, the California Mississippi rivalry shit talk. And I was,
it's the same thing
with anywhere else. Hollywood.
It's the same thing with PI and Hollywood.
Yeah,
PI, man. For those of you know, it was Paris Island, which is where up until like the 60s.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Philippines. Yeah. No, I was kidding.
You know, it's like you have the Hollywood Marines, which is MCRD San Diego, and you have the Paris Island Marines, and there's always a rivalry. We had sand fleas that would kill you. We had Mount Motherfucker, bitch. Shut up. You know?
It is funny hearing the different rivalries on that shit, man. Like when you got sent out though, like did they give you like a bad discharge or just like other than honorable?
OTH, other than honorable.
Okay, yeah. And that was pretty much like just thanks for coming type thing. That was, or did that hurt you?
It. I don't know if it's hurt me in the long run or not. Right. I'm in the process right now working through the VA to try to get that upgraded. There's just so many hoops you got to jump through, and half of them are fucking fire. And then you go through hoop A, and they're like, "Oh well, we've changed that now. Now you got to go back through and get X, Y, and Z done."
Right. Well, good thing is that but, now it's, you know, lots digital instead of mailing.
It is, and I have I have my wife who is my biggest advocate to get it done. So she's always, "So you got this letter, but now I need two more letters, and then you got to go to, okay." And she just kind of puts it on my phone, get letter from.
Right on.
You know.
And then are you going through a VSO, a veteran service officer? For
I have, I just started that like 3 months ago.
Okay.
And then
okay, so this isn't like an ongoing, like
I got COVID back and forth, so it was like we just kind of missing. But I'm only in like stage one of going through it.
Oh, okay, cool. So
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was just making sure this wasn't like some like yearly long battle.
No. This is, for me, it's only been like 3 months. But I know other guys who are in like year five of trying to get shit done. So
yeah, I just wrote a letter for dude, he was on the show, Pat Akison, good guy. He's in Wyoming. He owns like a construction company and he builds houses and like all that other shit, but he had an OTH on it as well. I believe it was an OTH, but anyways, whatever it was, I just wrote like, "Hey, what he was like when I served with him," and a nice little character statement. Cause the guy was a fucking hard worker. Yeah. And it's just like, what really sucks though is a lot of times people are really good hard workers, but you know, they also are good hard partiers as well. And that kind of fucks them. And the only difference between people like you or me and a lot of other people is like either A, leadership stood up for you or burnt you, one of the two. Or it's just like you just happened to be in the right place at the right time and never got caught.
For me, it was a little bit of both. I had both sides of that leadership coin.
Okay.
The Marine Corps was kind enough to send me to rehab for my drinking.
Right.
Good part about sending me to rehab. Bad part about that, they sent me to Pensacola, Florida in April.
Okay, so a little spring break time frame.
Yeah,
And Pecola.
Guess which 20-year-old Marine in the best shape was like, did not stay sober in rehab.
So
that was but
we're gonna send you to Scarface's house to stay away from cocaine.
Yeah, a little.
The world is yours.
Yeah,
Got
a bunch of 19-20-year-old hard bodies wearing bikinis and I'm a Marine, and they're kind of going, "You want to come party with us?" Well, yes I do,
of course I do. Yeah, man.
So but my CO on barracks duty was very flexible and was very cool about the whole thing. I was like, you know what, if I stay here I'm gonna die.
Yeah,
I'm just, I was...
The Marine Corps or Pensacola?
Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, in South Carolina. And it wasn't because we had a lot of downtime.
Right, a lot of downtime.
And it's like when you're 19, 20 years old and all you know how to do is drink and shoot guns, which is never a good combination. It's just like, you know, and even on base, they had the E-Club. So I got in right when the drinking age was 21, but I didn't have a car.
Right.
So I'm not going. I'm gonna stagger from the E-Club back to the barracks. They didn't care. They never checked IDs.
Right.
Right. And when you go out in town, there was a friend of mine in the unit with us who was, his birthday was the same day as mine, just 2 years ahead of me. So he was 21. And we would stand three or four people in front of, you know, he'd be in front of me by three people. He would just slide his military
there you
back,
go. You yeah,
know?
Man.
And it was like, we're both white guys with black hair, and you know.
And it's always about the same
and
haircut.
We got that same deer in the headlight look.
Yeah.
You know, so cool. Because I just glancing at the age, not really checking the name.
Right.
Even, you know, I would drink it at, fuck, I would drink at Sin City. I would drink at the Flying Dutchman.
Did you go look for these clubs when you went to your reunion? Like, does this place still
actually exist? My roommate, the first year I went, so I've been twice. The first year I went, he took me around. He's like, this is going to make you sad, man, but the Dutchman's gone. I'm like, oh.
Oh, that's like our Top Deck bar. You live in Wyoming. You know, yeah. You live in Camarillo.
But
you know,
I work in Oxnard,
That was like the place where a lot of people are like, what? And every time people hear it still to this day, no way. Uh-huh. So the Flying Dutchman's gone.
Yeah.
Top Deck is all gone.
I saw some really cool bands before they were famous at the Dutchman.
Oh, that's
Bon Jovi
awesome.
Was there. Motley Crue was there. Then and they were big in the 80s, but they were on a contract with South Carolina. And part of it was to bring new bands into the place. And it was, got my first sampling of some other extracurricular activities at the Dutchman as well.
That's like how it goes, especially prior to like the education and drug testing and all that other fun stuff that happened way later during my time. And was one of the biggest problems I had, you know, when I was young, is just like being around that and trying to get away from that environment. Cause you're just like, I was partying all the time before I went in the military. So I thought it was the same thing. And I felt like the rules, NJP, whatever, I felt like that was just like the bullshit laws too.
UCMJ,
like,
you know,
yeah, I'm just going to avoid. Right. Yeah, I won't get in trouble. And then, you know, of course it happens. And then you're like, why the fuck are they so mean to us? This is bullshit. Why do they want us to stay at work till 4? This is stupid. And you're like, well, then you find out about, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's kind of the reasons too. Like, why are you going to be on the bus? Get on the bus. Like
my roommates, this should tell you, I didn't know about my experience at Goose Creek. My roommate's nickname was the pharmacist.
Okay.
My nickname was the bartender. And neither one of us went to college.
Nice.
You know.
So the pharmacist and the...
So the pharmacist grew up in Rhode Island, and his best friend, Paul's best friend growing up in Rhode Island, if there was a mafia, his dad was a made man in the Rhode Island mafia.
Gotcha. Too bad this is before Dr. Feelgood album came out.
Yeah, right?
You know, that would have been great. That'd be his, like, he shows up. Hey, Dr. Feelgood!
Yeah, but... You know, again, 18, 19, 20 years old, bulletproof.
Yeah, man. You know,
it's
I had a second job, Ventura Theater. And we were doing security for the bands, and like, it was me and a couple other people from Five, and then Five left, and I had have shoulder surgery, but I still knew CBs that I was getting people from like 4 and 3, to come in because it was a 40 crossover.
Right.
3 and 40 used to cross over 5 and 4. Anyways. Long story longer is, it was always like really cool because I had the Ventura Theater, and then, you know, and we had a doc, but he was a like legit doc, you know, right. Corman. We'd be so drunk the next day, and Doc Winslow, he'd be like, all right, put out your arms. So we're sitting here hydrating. We're getting ready to go run, like fucking, you know, just like six, 8 people. He's pulling like all these fucking dehydration bags out of his fridge, and we're just like,
yeah, let's go.
Just waiting for that drip going into your arms. That way it's just like, we're going to rehydrate so we can go for the run. You know, so.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Good times, man. Why is it so bullshit? Why do we got to like work till 4?
Why are we running them boots and utes? And Gunny's pat response was, because when you go to war, fuck, you're not going to be wearing flip-flops and booty shorts.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, you get away from it, and then when it's like time to go, then it's like back in it again. Because you were like, You've probably served with some pretty bad motherfuckers because these guys are still Vietnam.
So I had my squad leader is he was we had two squad leaders who were actually in the Beirut bombing.
Oh shit!
And survived.
Damn.
So
that's legit.
Yeah. Man. And that happened in 84, which is
right.
It was one of the things that pushed me to go into the military, not necessarily the Marines per se, but it was. I will say this about my pop. He never said you must.
Right, right.
It was always this is an option. For me, it worked out for 27 years as a very, very good option. But this is an option. It's on the table, and I really never looked at anything else when I realized that I was a big fish in a small pond playing soccer, and I go up to college, I'm going to be riding the pine. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't want to waste my time. If I'm not going to play, don't, you know.
That makes sense. That's
And then I ended up playing for the barracks team for 2.5 years.
Hell yeah, man. I wish more SoundCloud rappers would realize that. You know, he's going to be great. Yeah, I know. You're great in like the...
You're great in the shower, brother.
You're great in your study hall. You know, that's
great in the shower, but yeah. You know, out in public, not so much.
Yeah. There's that, man.
I mean, I can sing my ass off, know every word in the shower or the car.
Yeah.
Put me up there when I got to like the karaoke machine. I'm like, wait, it says that? What the fuck? I didn't know that line was in the song.
Wow.
I've been singing it for 30 fucking years. I didn't know that line was in the song.
I just thought it was there's a bathroom on the right.
Right.
I thought they said it wrapped up like a douche. Like, what? That's cool, man. How'd you? What made you decide that Camarillo or wherever that's where you're at now is where you wanted to live then?
My wife is born and raised in Northridge.
Okay.
And she went north to go to school. She went to a small college called Sonoma State.
Gotcha.
Which actually shared a fence line with my high school. And we met. Fuck, I'm going to blow right into me. I don't care. I've been sober 28 and a half years. My wife just turned 30 in recovery. And we met in the rooms of AA.
Oh, cool.
And it was
friends with Bill.
Friends with That's, Bill, absolutely.
Go. Good stuff.
We met in rooms of AA. She was at college. Her plan was go to school, get degree, move home. It was go to school, meet me, get degree, stay there for 10 years, get married up there, and then move home. I knew when we started dating seriously, and that we were gonna stick. That at some point we were gonna be back down here.
Okay.
So we've been down here a little over 17 years.
And then how long, and you're at the DMV, man, now.
Yeah.
That has to be interesting. Especially
that's a good word.
In
that's
Oxnard.
A good word.
Yeah.
That's a good word. Interesting is a very good word.
Because I know people get upset with people behind the counter, but there's mostly people that are in front of the counter that would fucking drive me batshit crazy. Uh-huh. So how'd you end up with that gig?
I was working for my dad, and I was tired of coming home and having to ice my shoulders because he had a water treatment company.
Okay.
And it was just me and him mostly.
All right.
And it's like, for existing units, it was no problem. I was the service tech. I can throw a 50-pound bag of salt all day. But, when we got to do a new install, Sonoma County doesn't have mud. They have adobe, which is like fucking digging in clay.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. And I was tired of fighting with my dad about doing this or that. And I was just tired of being sore. And a friend of mine from recovery was like, dude, take the state exam. SCIF is hiring. Sorry. SCIF is... the state compensation insurance fund. So if you own a business, you're required by law in California to have insurance. It doesn't matter. You can anywhere. But SCIF is like the bottom of the barrel. Everybody goes, but they can't get insurance. So I go take the test, and I don't think a thing about it. And then a couple of days later, they called me. Can you come in for an interview? So I went in for an interview and was working for SCIF for almost 4 years. 2001 is my start date with SCIF. So and I moved down here in 06. So I've been with the state for 22 years.
And SCIF is basically who puts you at the...
Right. No, SCIF is... SCIF decided they were going to go paperless.
All right.
And I worked in the claims department. I might be slow, but I'm not stopped. When I know that 85% of my job is pushing paper and they're going paperless,
I should
probably start looking for something else to do. It was good timing because my wife was... We were really starting a lot to talk about coming back home for her down to LA.
Right, right, right.
So I'm like, well, let me go see what's going on in Southern California with state jobs or with SCIF particularly. And I moved down, I came down here, interviewed with two different departments down here for SCIF. 4 days later, they closed the second one because they were going paperless.
Right.
And I didn't want to work in state contracts because I didn't want to have a bad taste in my mouth about how dirty some CHP officers play. A lot of soft tissue injuries about 3 years away from retirement, so this kid to sit behind the desk for the last 3 years.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, you weren't even in the car accident. What are you talking? You know what I mean? But it's so
shady shit.
I just kind of went online and I looked at other state jobs, and DMV popped up, and I went, click, and right. My HR person that's up in Santa Rosa for SCIF was paying attention to the conversation because I was going to quit and get rehired. She went, no, you're going to do a lateral transfer. Because if you quit and get rehired, you have to go through the whole hiring package again.
Oh, no shit.
So if this is just, you just put in your paperwork because you're moving and we're closing.
Is that kind of still like that too?
It's a state. So it's called the Soroa list.
All right.
I'm not really sure what the acronym stands for, but if you're a state employee and they're closing your department, you are first pick for whatever job you want to go get.
Oh, that's interesting.
There might be 15 people on the list, but because you are currently a state employee, they are required to take you above the other people.
Because I think my brother did something like that with, like, he was a parks department, mm-hmm. and then now he's water treatment.
Yep.
So it was just like with
so lat transfer, lateral transfer,
something similar. Because he's like, it's a city thing.
But. And when we first landed here, we landed at my in-law's house in Northridge.
Okay.
They gave us the upstairs, which is basically they rebuilt. They added on to their house. They added on about 1,000 square feet, most of it downstairs, but upstairs, a full bath, full bedroom. And then that's where my wife and I landed for about the first 3 months, but constantly looking for places to move into to rent. And we were at the Strawberry Festival in Oxnard and got the phone call that the first place we looked at and lived for 7 years was available. We can move in on Monday. So we left the Strawberry Festival and packed up all our shit and
hell yeah.
And her old bedroom set was already up there, so we just put all of our shit in storage. Just brought like just a week's worth of clothing because we had laundry, you know. So I wore the same shit to work every week for for like 3 months, but I didn't care.
It's okay, yeah.
I didn't care because there's laundry. And then we got the place, moved into Camarillo, and we've been there ever since.
Camarillo's like a good city that a lot really, of people don't realize that it's that, you know, it's pretty chill, man.
It's a really quiet neighborhood, and I am never, ever going to be the guy that when the police come knocking on my door, I'm going to go, I lived next door to Josh for 15 years. I had no idea he was burying bodies in the backyard. That will not be me. I know my neighbors. I know what cars they drive. I know we have the rapport where, hey, we're going on vacation next week. Would you mind picking up the mail for us?
I thought you were just saying you'll never move down to L.A.
She doesn't want to.
I'm just
kidding. She grew up in the Valley, and she doesn't want to.
I was saying to be my neighbor, because there's a place that did open up.
You know, right, I saw the tent over there that was open. And it's not big enough for me, the wife, and the dog.
You did enough camping in the field with the Marine Corps. So, sure, you already have that.
Man. Yeah.
No, that's cool, because, it's funny because you're a comic now too, and we're on a show together, and you're like, "Do you know Russ Broadhead?" Speaking of where you work, right. And come to find out that he was one of the first, one of the coolest first classes I met.
He was that way when I worked with him too.
Just
he was
a real super chill.
Nothing
guy.
Really seemed to get to him.
No, just like. You know, I've worked with some pretty awesome first classes in the past. I remember watching a Hummer to get destroyed and watching a Pepsi get thrown by Keith Foster. Awesome guy. and I seen some stuff. And then it's just Russ just always just super happy. Hey, what's going on? And then somebody got on me for something stupid. And it wasn't even my fault, but they were just yelling at me hey, don't yell at him. It's not his fault. And I was like, wow, that's cool. That's dude, stuck up for me. And I'm like, I just happen to be there, you know? And it's
but anyway. that's who Russell is.
Shout out to Russ. You know, man.
I mean, we were working, we had a floating manager come in, which basically means when one of our managers was on vacation, they have to fill the spot. And not to talk ill of the dead because her cancer came back and took her out in 3 months. But she, part of my job at DMV is to do what's called the vehicle verification.
Okay.
Comes in from out of state. Or you built the motorcycle from the rubbers to the wheels, whatever. We have to make sure it's an operating and a safe vehicle for California, right?
Right, right, right.
And this guy comes in, and I get what he was doing. I completely understand. He's built a bike that he was taking the hot August nights in Reno, but he can't sell it without a vehicle verification. But it's in pieces. I can't verify a vehicle that's not together.
Right? Yeah, totally.
So this manager sends Russell out, and he comes back, and he's like, I can't verify that bike. It's in pieces. I don't know this. I'm not part of that conversation. She taps me and goes, can you go do the verification outside? I'm like, sure. And I start writing up the pickup truck that it's in. The guy's, no, it's the bike. I'm like, what bike?
Right.
I mean, and it's all bubble wrapped, and it's all, because he's built it, and he wants to put it together in Vegas so he can sell it or whatever it is. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I can't. The bike has to be together. This manager comes in, and she wants to write Rustin up for insubordination because we didn't do our job.
But you are.
Fortunately for us, our big manager heard the conversation, and she's like, you need to go. You two go back to your desk. You come with me. And we could hear her through the door that was closed, ripping this other manager. And again, I'm not trying to be
Beverly Hills Cop. Can they really hear you through the wall?
Yes, he can. I'm not, it's just, there are certain things we can do, certain things we can't.
Yeah.
And I know totally. It's a beautiful bike, and I know you're going to get north of 30 grand for it, but I'm not going to jail because I verified a bike that wasn't together. I can't.
Yeah. Was it, did you tell him just, hey man, can you just put it together?
I'm like,
bring it in?
It has to be, a functioning bike. So he had to put he had every piece. It was just not together. So he had the frame, and he had the engine, he had the tranny, and he had the front end, and he had the gas tank, and he had the seat, and he had the wiring harness, but nothing was together. It would have took him a couple of days to put it all together. And I'm like, we can't. But what you can do is take it up there, put it together, sell it, and then stop in at Barstow on the way back and have it verified because of the DMV there.
Yeah, that's true. It's too bad, man.
Yeah,
you guys are such dicks for doing your job.
You know.
Oh, gosh.
It's amazing to me that people show up at DMV and they have, it's like, you mean I have to pay for that? Yes, you have to pay for your new license. But I already have a license. But it expired. Well, yeah, but I already have one. That's when the vein starts to bulge in my head.
One thing I do like, I'll say the positive, which is strange for people to say about the DMV, especially in California, is, dude, the way they treat fucking veterans with disabilities, man. Like the VA, like if you're 100% PNT or whatever, if you're 100%, dude, I go to a kiosk, I put my thing under the thing, and bonk, you're clear. You know, and it's good to go. And I'm like, holy shit.
So that's for me as an employee, that's a double-edged sword.
Okay.
Right? Because, yes, I like my wife pays my DMV shit on the computer at home.
Right.
I worked. I can walk in and go have some of my coworker pay this. But my wife goes click, click, and it's done. Right? So as an example, pre-pandemic, before they opened up a whole lot more options to pay stuff online, we were pushing anywhere between 9 and 1,100 people a day through our office.
Right.
We're happy if we get 350. Okay. So people walking in has dropped off considerably, right? Because you can pay it at a kiosk. You can pay it online. You can pay it at AAA. You can pay it at, in Oxnard alone, within 4 blocks of my office, there are 5 registration services.
Oh, shit.
Right. So you can walk into any one of those. Now, they're going to charge you a 10% fee to do the work. But if you don't, I don't want to go to DMV and wait for an hour, you'll pay the 10%.
I guess what I'm saying is, I probably should have said I can go to the DMV instead of a kiosk. Right. I can go to the DMV and talk to one of you guys because I'm a California disabled veteran,
right,
and show you, like, print off my letter from Veteran the benefits website,
the VA.
And just show you the VA letter, and then you guys are like, boom, and free of fucking charge,
right,
dude. And that's like, nothing.
And now that you have your DV plates, you can do walk into the kiosk and just go click.
Yeah,
you can go online and just go click.
Unless you got smog, then you got to show your smog.
Well, yes,
proof.
But
and that's like every 3-5 whatever. Every years.
It's every other year.
Every other year.
It's 2 years.
Okay.
So, it's 7 years from the day you buy the car. So if you bought a 17 and 24 is your first smog year, and then you're every even year. So it's 7 years every whatever that falls, every 2 years. Now here's what people get fucked up and confused. Smog was done in 2021 or in 2022, right? So they're 22. They buy the car in 23. I buy your car. I'm required to get it. You're required to get a smog. So now you're getting it 22 and 23. It's annual smog is due in 24. So you're going to get it 3 years in a row.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so, it irritates people. I just got a smog last year. Yes, but you bought the car last year.
Oh, okay. So that's how the... Yeah. Like, gotcha.
That's how they get that extra $75 for the smog check out of you.
Okay. Yeah. Those suckers.
Yep.
I tell you. Man, what's some crazy shit that happens at DMVs that you can talk about without getting in trouble?
We have people coming off their meds.
Okay.
We have like the people who live across the street from you and in the tarps.
Yeah.
They come in off their meds, and most of the time they're okay, but on occasion you just get somebody who wants to talk at the top of his lung capacity and doesn't want to leave, and it's a conspiracy theory. Why do you need my thumbprint? Because we have to put it on your license, dude. That's we're not selling it, we're not giving it to the government. It's crazy.
To track you on Pornhub.
We've had a couple of your guys come in one day.
Oh, okay.
A couple of CBs come in, and they were in uniform, which is the only reason I think they didn't actually physically harm this individual. But there was a guy outside sitting in his pickup truck taking pictures. And it was during the summer, so it was all the high school girls who were coming out there to get their...
Oh,
yeah, no. just gross.
Whoa.
So...
I think we've probably been on a show with this guy, fucking perfect.
So me and could be. So me and Russ go outside and we write down because at that time all we had was female managers. Nothing against female managers,
right.
But me and Russ are two big boys. We're gonna go outside and ask this gentleman to leave. Jot down his license plate. One of our managers, her soon-to-be husband, works for DMV Investigations, the DMV police.
Gotcha.
We gave him his number, and he's a registered sex offender. The only thing he can do with DMV is walk in, pay his registration or his license, and leave. He can't hang out.
Yeah.
And he was hanging out. And two of your boys in uniform actually walked in and said, either you guys do something or we will do something. Yeah. And I was like, you guys are in uniform. You can't do anything because that will look funny with one stripe missing.
Yeah. No doubt.
But it was, but they were pissed,
Yeah.
And then this biker pipes up.
He's like, I got it.
He's like, what's going on? And we don't know what's going on at the time.
Yeah.
And they tell him, and he's like, picks up his phone. I know he's calling a couple of his biker buddies.
Yeah.
And he's not the kind of biker riding the BMW. He's got he's got the ape hangers and the Harley with the cut on. And
probably one percenter from one of those guys. Clubs.
Yeah, one of the clubs.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But me and Russ went out and told him to leave, and he told us where we can go, how we can get there. Buddy put his truck in reverse and left. Got his license, but number of police were at his house before he was.
Nice.
Because it's like, we're inside, so we don't see what's going on outside a lot.
Right.
Sometimes it takes somebody with a conscience and a heart to go, hey, man, you got somebody outside doing something they shouldn't be doing before we can do anything.
Damn, that's fucking... That's enough right there.
And the other issue is we are... So here's my office across the street, and like half a block is a school.
I was gonna say, like, that dude wasn't even really supposed to be in that area at that DMV either.
He shouldn't have been, but technically he comes in, does his business, and goes home. He's fine. But coming in, doing your business, sitting in the parking lot for 45 minutes is not a good idea.
Yeah, because I figured that one was too close to a school for him to even be allowed to.
I am quite confident he was spoken to rather harshly about that.
Yeah, hopefully by some of those guys with the ape hangers and hung them out, to dry.
One of the other ones that happened was before they started doing the computer tests last couple of years, I don't know if you remember, we had that long sheet of paper where you took your test on, right? So renewing a test, you can miss three, and we flip it over, and go, hey, Josh, you missed three, you missed four. I flip it over, go, Josh, I'm going to ask you a question, get it right, I'll pass you, right? In our manual. Perfectly legal to do that.
Yeah.
No, nothing going on. So I do. Right?
I want to ask you a question. If you get it but right. But it's
like, now, in reality, here's the deal, right? I know you're military. And I know that, and it's like, even though you're in the other military, but there's still a brotherhood
between the military. Yeah, totally. Especially Marines and CBs.
I will find a question that, like, what does a red light mean?
Oh.
it's just like, I'm not going to ask you.
Means no more sexual talk.
Right. But it's like, I'm going to ask appropriate questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I want to help you out too.
Not the fucking, right. Hey, what's the minimum death tread of your tire right. before? So it's-
if you're driving and there's a rail car, how much distance, or a trolley car, how much distance do you need to give them? It's like, nobody knows that shit unless you live in San Francisco or San Diego.
Yeah, I was feeling and very confident about taking a test. I read the book and I don't know that question.
So this kid, you know, so I do that. And after work, I'm driving home and he's behind me honking his horn. I'm like, what the fuck? Do I got a flat tire? You know, so I pull over and he comes to my passenger side window and he sticks his head in and goes, bro, thanks a lot. Checks my hand, puts 200 cash in my hand.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to jail for 200 bucks.
Yeah, yeah, no right? shit.
So man. I wait for him to leave. I flip a bitch, go back to the office. It's after hours. I know at least two of my managers are still there because I can see them, but they're busy. They're not answering. I pick up the phone. I'm like, open the fucking door. And I never cuss at my manager ever. It's just it's just not appropriate.
But this is one of those
and,
things.
So they come, they're like, what happened? So I tell them what happened. And then the kid says to me, I'm coming back tomorrow. We'll do it again. He's coming because he's a commercial driver. He wants to get his commercial license.
Oh, yeah.
So I tell him that. And they're like, and I'm working the area where we're doing the testing, obviously. So they're like, well, let us know when he gets here. So I see him. And I get up and I go to the bathroom and I grab my phone because I can't have it on the floor. I'm like, hey, dude's in line. What do you want me to do? We'll figure it out. Just go back to your station. Okay. And they come over, tap me, and they go, can you go out and help so-and-so with the verification? He's having a hard time. Sure. Well, this kid is now letting everybody go in front of him until I get back because he wants to deal with me.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
And they're like, well, fuck it. He's going to play the game. So they bring me back, and my boss goes, can you use your acting skills and stall? Because at the time, I was trying to be an actor, do some plays and stuff like that.
There you go.
And so I'm like, dude, what did you use yesterday when you filled out your application for your legal presence document? Was it your passport? Was it your resident card? Was it your matricula? What was it? He's like, oh, it was my matricula. I'm like, didn't go in. I need to make a photocopy. Can I have it? He's like, sure. So instead of doing it at my desk, I walk all the way across the room, make a copy, bring it back. And between then and now, the investigators had shown up.
Right.
And they look like me and you. You know, they're jeans, T-shirt. They're not in cop uniform.
Out of weight, overweight, disabled veterans.
Pretty much. There we go. Yeah. And I put his card back up on the table, and the cop walked over and puts the handcuff on him. Was we could do this easy or hard. They don't play. They put cuffs on him right in the office, right in line. Took him out to his car. In his car, he's got three sets of plates to register to his vehicle. He's got paperwork for three other vehicles in his car that he shouldn't have. Make a long story incredibly short.
Too late.
Three driving schools were closed down because they were trying to find truck driving schools, not regular driving schools. What they do is they send usually Hispanics to come find somebody in the Hispanic community who works at DMV. Homie, you got to take care of your people, man. Right? Yeah. And they pay that guilt trip on them. One of the people arrested through DMV was she was the daughter of the second in command of investigations for DMV California.
Oh, shit.
To keep her dad out of the loop of what was going on for a year and a half, those fuckers got some skills. But this girl lost her, she lost her job, lost her pension, lost her 401k, did 18 months. But it was crazy. And again, DMV police don't care. They literally went to a manager's house, knocked on her door, gave her 30 minutes to get a babysitter for her grandchild, and then arrested her.
At least they did that much.
Right. I mean, but it was four people at my level. Yeah. If you're just your behind the tech guy. It was a drive instructor and it was three managers.
Yeesh.
Yeah, it was I'm not a big fan of my job sometimes, but I'm not willing to lose it because the benefits are phenomenal.
No, and a lot of it too is like when you have that kind of shit, you just, because the second you start doing it one time, then it's just all you're it shattered forever.
Right. All it takes is one time.
Then your moral compass is already fucking askew because you're like, oh, fuck. And then you're justifying doing something wrong. Like when you're like a teenager.
You know, I really like this guy. He's been really polite. You know, cool. Let me just let it slide.
Dude, I'll let you roll. You know, but and it sucks too, you know, because there's.
Well, people get on me all the time about it. Dude, he's been driving since he was 12. I get it, but he can't see. He can't pass the eye chart.
I can't
put him out there on the road.
But look, you know what the way the roads are now, he can drive in Braille.
Right.
He got those strips, the rumble strips on the...
But then I ask him, like, so my wife drives on these roads. My friends drive on these roads. My kid comes down from Oregon and drives on these roads. Your family drives on these roads. Do you want that guy who can't see and doesn't know the rules of the road out there with your family members?
Probably not. And once you put it back
on them...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. I have to. Yeah. I have to think about that.
Yeah, because your name's on the paperwork for that motherfucker to be around.
Exactly.
So,
that's part of that. Not only that, it's just I couldn't live with myself if I gave the 85-year-old guy who can't feel his feet because of diabetes and is blind one eye a license and he ran through the fucking Long Beach Pier, which happened a couple of years ago.
Like, well, okay, yeah. Makes sense.
You know what I mean? It's like I get it. Accidents happen. That's just part of the world we live in. But it's like to intentionally pass somebody because he's being a nice guy or his wife bought donuts for the office. You know, it's like, I can't. I just can't.
Yeah. So, like, what we got going on now? Like, you're doing stand-up comedy?
I'm doing comedy a couple nights a week. I'm not every night because I have a wife and she's like, you know. And I've also, as I said, I've been sober forever and I have a home group that I go to every Wednesday.
That's cool, man.
On occasion, if I know far enough in advance, like if you wanted me to do a Wednesday night, if you're not calling me Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, can you come out tonight? No.
But if I
give enough time, because I have a commitment at the meeting, if I can get somebody to cover my spot, then I got no problem going out.
That's like, I'm not going to say I'm in the program or anything like that anymore, but I grew up with it. You know, my stepdad... awesome dude, big influence in my life. He's been in the program since I was like a mid teenager, you know what I mean? And then also there's a long time I quit drinking. It's funny because people are like, are you in the program? I'm like, well, kind of, but not really. I quit drinking mainly because I didn't want to smoke cigarettes and I wanted to get my run time down, but I couldn't do both, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, long story longer, it's just like I still think that sobriety is a very important part of life at times. If you can't control yourself, stay there. You know what I mean? But I think when it comes to like emotional periods in your life, whether it be death or whatever, that's the time to fucking,
you know,
people run to the addiction, but it's like, dude, it's time to like fucking, this is, you need to feel this before you go there.
It's really easy to be sober in the rooms of AA.
Yeah.
It's a bitch being sober behind the desk at DMV when I've had to deal with four assholes who they're entitled. They want, you know, my kid passed the test. Why can't he get his license? Because he has to wait 6 months, whatever the situation is. And it's my fault because you didn't come prepared properly. It's, you know, or when I lost my dad a couple years ago to cancer.
Yeah.
That wasn't any fun.
I bet.
And
not.
I went, you know, my wife and I went through that sober. We lost her dad. We lost her grandmother. You know, it's just, I'm 56 years old. People are going to start dying off in my life. You know, that's just how it is.
We're at that age, man.
You know, it's like sitting in a room of AA, it's easy to be sober. It's dealing with life that can kick you in the teeth. And yes, I'm pretty sure you're going to ask the question at some point, do I miss it? And there are times where it's kind of like, you know, it's 106 fucking degrees. I just mowed the lawn and trimmed the trees. And a nice cold beer would taste really good right now. And then the voice in my head goes, shut the fuck up because you've never had one in your life. Right? And that's the truth. I've never had a beer in my life. It's always been, I'm buying a pitcher.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm at the bar. Or I'm buying a pitcher of Long Island iced tea and I don't share. You know? Or, you know, Jack Daniels was my best friend for a long time. And even then, it was. And even if I said to myself, I'm going to stop in and just get one and I'm going to go, the one was a double. You know? Right. It's like, And I'm one of those people that I'm sure you've seen in all your years in the military that there's no off switch. It's like once I start,
it's potato chips.
I'm sitting at the fucking bar until you kick me out.
Once you pop, you just can't stop, man. Yeah, man.
It's like Pringles for me, man.
That's like, for me, I didn't quite understand addiction until I quit smoking cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
And that's when I was like, motherfucker. And that's when I was like, oh. So this is what it's like. Because the second then you justify, like, for when I quit smoking, and that's why I had to quit drinking. Because, like, then I'd have these justifications. Oh, I'll only smoke after a meal. And then it's no, just after a meal. Or I'll only smoke after I poop. Or while I poop. Or, you know, I'm taking a shit. I got to have a fucking Marlboro or a Newport or whatever. You know, I like my fucking shit minty. I have to have a Newport while I go. But it's, yeah, and then it's
tingles the asshole just a little bit.
Just a little tingle. Yeah, Pride Month for poop. But anyways, I guess flavors and colors go together. Yeah. Taste the rainbow. That's really awkward. Anyway, but yeah, it's just like one of those things, like, I didn't get it. And then when I quit smoking cigarettes, it's like, oh, that's what people go through. You know what I mean? Because I think I'm fortunate to the point where it's like, I can have the one, but it's just like it's not for me anymore.
Believe it or not, nicotine was harder for me to kick than drinking.
Oh, I totally believe it.
And it's I wasn't a smoker. I was a chewer.
Oh, wow. Because
from the time I was 6 years old, I've been on a baseball field. I've either played it, umpired it, or coached it.
And in the 80s,
and it was like
70s then.
Yeah, it was part of my gear.
Yeah.
Right?
It was part of everybody's gear.
We've played shoes, shin pads, cup, ball bag, Copenhagen mask, chest protector. Because it looks really awkward to go, time. Behind the plate,
right.
Little pinch in over here on the side, and I'm good to go. Until you take a foul ball right here, and it just kind of matches everything. But other than that, you know, I did that from, I think I took my first dip at 13, and I quit the first time when I was 30.
Okay.
And then the wife and I were stressing about the wedding, so I started dipping again, but when she wasn't around, so which made it worse because I was hiding it from her.
Yeah. There's always the cats that are like, dude, like, don't tell my wife.
Right, smoking. Exactly. I'm like,
okay, man, I won't.
It's like,
you will just because
I'm like, you don't think she's going to know?
No.
Because you smell like cigarette smoke. Your truck's, you know, it's like.
We had this one cat when I was at Amphibious Construction Battalion 2 in Virginia Beach. And we'd have the checks for vehicles or whatever.
Right.
And you have the nice little tight little gloves. And that's what we do. He'd put on like the rubber fucking gloves, go outside. So his fingers, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing with the gloves, dude? He's like, I don't want my wife to smell my fingers. It's like, okay, yeah. I got you.
People are, you know, people are inventive and they are, yeah. And alcoholics, I mean, there's a lot of alcoholics that I know, sometimes I'm included. You say, Kenny, can you give me a 20-minute dissertation on the radiation of the sun? I know nothing about the radiation of the sun, but I'm going to get up in front of a room and talk about it for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You
totally,
know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
It's like, and there's a lot of people, sometimes that was me, it's like if we're at the bar together, Josh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a CB. Dude, I used to build boats. You know, never built a boat in my fucking life, but right. I want you to like me, so I'm going to do whatever you did.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Doing the chameleon approach, basically.
Yeah.
So if somebody was like, hey, in the Oxnard, Port Wayne, the 805, I should say, and they're looking for a meeting or something, because there might be a CB right now, or, you know, somebody from that area that's listening and it's like, you know what? I need to knock this shit off, dude. You know what I mean? And because I really think that the thing about AA is that's awesome is it's like everything you do in life, it always helps when you have a cheering section. In
yes,
a sense.
Absolutely.
And it's also like, you know, it's an unconditional love thing because everybody gets it. So if you're fucked up and you do something stupid and you're there, you're like, hey, I fucked up. And they're like, dude, let me tell you about this one time in Pennsylvania. Right. I fucking drove my car through the bridge. That's absolutely insane. You know, and then.
100%.
And so it's like, it's not shame for being honest with, and the biggest thing, you got to be fucking honest to yourself. I mean, you're only lying to him
right.
or her, you know, or they, depending on what city you're in. But
yeah, exactly.
Like the thing is, if there was a place to go in Wyoming, is there any meetings you'd recommend or a website to look into?
It depends on how comfortable the person is.
Okay.
There's a meeting every night of the week in Camarillo. You know, in Ventura County, there's a meeting every night of the week. There's a meeting every day at noon. In Camarillo at a church, at one of the churches on Anacapa.
Right.
There are meetings. They usually stop at 9:30, 10 o'clock, but there is a meeting 7 days a week, holidays and weekends included, somewhere
at night or morning, 10:30.
So they stop at 10. Most of them go from 8 to 9, 8 to 9:30, and then there's the meeting after the meeting, if you will. You stand outside, people are still smoking
cigarettes, have a coffee.
You know, and we're telling stories and bullshit, and they're just, you know, helping the new guy get from point A to point B, you know?
Right.
And there's really, as arrogant as this might sound, there's really nothing about one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, because I'm going to understand. I may not have done what you did,
right, right,
but I'm going to understand the emotions and the feelings behind it.
Well, that's
whereas, and I kind of go, it's like you had shoulder surgery, right? I need shoulder surgery. I'm going to, dude. Who was your doctor? That's what I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you what did you do for your shoulder surgery,
right? Because
you know.
Dr. Zerman.
Right.
Poor Wainimi.
You know what I mean?
It's Oxnard,
like,
I believe.
It's like, I wouldn't, if I broke my arm, I wouldn't go to my mechanic.
Right.
My mechanic may have broken his arm, and he may have really good advice what to do about a broken arm, but he didn't break his arm. So he, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
can't do anything. Whereas sometimes psychology doesn't always work for alcoholics because we are not honest.
Well, that's
It doesn't fix our drinking.
We're trying to justify and right. not let people know what's really going on because you're trying to keep a job or a relationship, and really, it's like your relationship. And if you know, part of it was the higher power that you have to figure out, and that other stuff. And you're trying to figure out these relationships and not other people knowing. For those that are veterans or on active duty, it's kind of like when you're a Marine. I was a CB,
right.
And it's just like. No matter what, we always have that. You know, it's just like, okay, cool. Because you understand what those sleepless nights are. Those
absolutely.
Nights away from home is. Boot camp, you know, is like absolutely. A little bit different. But still, it's, you know, a big change in life, you know. So I get that, man.
You know, and it, yeah, it's, we could talk all day long to civilians about what it's, you know, about what the military experience is like.
Right, right, right.
But they don't have the same experience. And in fairness, you don't have the same experience that I do, and I don't have the same experience that you do. Because
no.
We were in different branches. We did different things. We were in different parts of the country, although I think you spent time on the East Coast in Virginia as well. But it's I'm a California kid, but you know, I born in Hawaii, but I'm a California kid.
Yeah.
And going from all that there is to do in California, right? Whether I was doing it in San Francisco or you were doing it in LA, all that there is to do, and then to go to a place like Charleston in the 80s where there's less, a lot less stuff to do. It's kind of like,
yeah,
you know,
well, and also you're in the fucking South. Like,
right.
You know, I mean, that's a whole nother world after leaving here, which is a very liberal place,
even
to there, which is, you know,
even in the 80s,
right.
There was a whole lot more racism that I didn't
totally.
I'm like, I grew up in Northern California.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, it was like Mike Cooley was a kid in class. Anthony Cage, Carl Cage. There weren't a whole lot of people of color in my high school, in my junior high and stuff like that. Because there just weren't a whole lot of people of color who lived in the area. But it was like, that's just Anthony.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
That's just Mike. Mike's a running back. Anthony's a linebacker. It's like, okay. You know, I was at Anthony and Carl's house for dinner a couple times a week because their dad was my baseball coach. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't, and plus I grew up in a military environment. You know.
Yeah,
You know, it's like in the Marine Corps, we have two colors. We have light green and dark green, period. You know, it's just, nobody really cared if you were rich, poor, white, black, straight, gay. It's like, just, you know, point everything that
That's
way.
Jimmy.
You know, just put everything
that's
that
Sarah,
way.
You know, yeah, that's pretty much
that's
all
just,
it was.
Just Josh.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just Joshing you guys.
You know, it's just Russell. It's just Ken. It's just, you know, it's just Mary, whoever it is. It's just them. You know? It's funny to me. It was like they put that whole don't ask, don't tell thing. And the only people who gave a shit about that was Congress. The military guys were like, we don't give a shit. Just point your fucking weapon that way. Shoot the bad guy. That's all we care about.
It's funny because like I was in when they repealed it too.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, and then when they took it away, and that once again, that's just a big Congress thing.
You know? It was, like, and again, nobody cared.
Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody cared. Like, just,
and
you know,
when they did take it away, I was talking with some active duty troops about this Friday because they were boot camp. They're young.
Right.
They're young when they appealed it, and it was just kind of like, you're already new. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just kind of like, but nobody gives a shit because it's just like, that's Jimmy and he does a job, or that's Sarah, right, or whatever.
But did it bother you if Jimmy, you know, you got out of the shower, Jimmy was, I'm like, no, Jimmy's waiting to take a fucking shower.
My second podcast was about repealing. Don't ask, don't tell. My first one was about buy me drinking girls in Okinawa. And then my second one was about don't ask, don't tell going away. And I'm just like, you know, it's and that's how long I've been doing these podcasts.
Right. And it's like, even in the mid 80s when I was in, it was nobody really cared. It was like, you had a couple guys who were from the South who were like, maybe not.
Right.
But most of us, we were like, dude, who cares? Is he trying to fuck you? Well, no. So are you jealous or pissed off?
Right.
You know, You know, if he's not trying to sleep with you, why do you care? Who do you care who he sleeps with? Unless he's sleeping with your wife, right? And or your brother, depending on the case. You know, it's like, who gives a shit? Does he do his job? Does he do it correctly? And are you going to get hurt if he's there? That's all that we really cared about. And you, same thing
did
with
they
CBs.
They show up. You know? They showed up.
Right. Same thing with CBs.
Yeah.
You don't care if they're white, black, green, yellow, or purple.
Can you fucking weld?
Can you drive the backhoe?
Yeah.
Can you drive it correctly? Perfect. You're in, you know?
Well, you're going to operate a backhoe, but well, that's what I loved about being a steelworker. A steelworker was kind of like the fucking open rate of the CBs at sometimes because, like, you know, by trade, we're welders and, right. You know, we do anything metal. But, usually, like, builder support is a lot of, as they call it, or builder's bitches, whatever, builder support, which is a lot of times. But also, I had to show electricians how to bend rebar, or not bend rebar, but conduit, which is hollow, you know, basically hollow pipe. Yeah. You know, and it's just a different kind of pipe. But it's still metal, mm-hmm. and using a one shot, how to do it gently. And then also, Alpha Company is the heavy equipment. I was the Alpha Company welder at one time. And so, my entire time I was there, I was like, hey, can I fucking do this? Cause I didn't want to sit like now. That was before phones where you had something to do.
Right.
You know, I was like, I'm driving from here from Port Hueneme all the way up to Fort Hunter Liggett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a long fucking drive to just sit and look out a window. So I was like, hey, can I like get the licenses for this equipment so I can operate it and drive it and whatever, you know? So that shit was awesome.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. So if you went and back to yourself and said, hey, what's up, dude? What would you tell yourself back in the day? Early Marine Corps days.
Don't go to that club.
Okay.
Really, I wouldn't. Everything I've done in my life has gotten me where I am.
Yeah.
So do I have regrets? Sure. You know, don't sit down on the stoop with that guy because he's an undercover cop that I didn't know at the time. You know, that was my first arrest was for drinking in public.
Okay, right? Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But
Punk and Drublick, but
that's the only one. Yeah. You know, it's like as much as everything I've done in my life, the drinking part of it, the getting sober part of it, the military part of it, the baseball part of it, the being a husband part of it, the being a dad part of it, has landed me on your couch doing this podcast.
Fuck yeah. Well, right? Cool.
You know what I mean? It's like, are there things, everybody has things they look back on and go, maybe I shouldn't have done that, you know? But like, the reality is like, everything I got has landed me here. Everything I've done has landed me here. I may not have wanted to do as hard as I did with some of the stuff. You know, there was, on day four of a 5-day cocaine run, I probably could have backed off of that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
You know, but.
Still gotta get rid of the 8-ball. You gotta fucking.
You know when you buy the 8-ball, you got you know you're already in.
You gotta run the table, just like it was pool. Yeah. If you know what I'm saying.
I understand.
Yeah, I when I first came in, it was like a lot of bad shit too. But it was like the thing was you don't really you're young,
right?
You know, and also I mean now you just left home, so. You're trying to make you're trying to do these things like you didn't go directly to college where most people make their college problems. They do them in college. Like, fucking kids. All right. Yep. Oh, yep. I get it. Yep. Go home. And it's like, no, you're in a very adult fucking field in the Marine Corps, or, you know, military.
Any military branch, really.
So.
And you can't pick up the phone from North Carolina and go, "Mommy, I got arrested. Come bail me out," because you know that's not going to work. And then, you know,
Daddy Warbucks, send me some cash, man.
Yeah, it's just and for a lot of kids, they go from an environment where they're either a lot of it in the '80s, single parent,
yeah,
right, damn near homeless, and they join the military because it's a safe environment.
Yeah,
there was literally a kid that I was at A school with. We were in boot camp together, but different units, so I never saw him. And he would, at mealtime, it was like, he was one of the first ones to get his food because he'd be the first in line and he was the last ones to leave the table. Because he would take every bite and just...
Oh, just enjoy the... Yeah.
And I finally was like, I was at the point where I was kind of like, dude, I really enjoy the way you eat because I'm shoveling in because I got to go. But I'm like, what's up? He's like, bro, my mom was working 3 jobs a day. 4 teenage boys in the house. We were lucky if we got 3 meals. sometimes three meals a week. So when they're going to feed me three hots in a cot, I'm going to enjoy every goddamn bite. I'm like,
fuck yeah.
But I mean, this kid was, he was like for like 6 months, baked Campbell's, Bandy Camp, baked beans and Bumblebee tuna.
Oh shit.
Three times a day if they had it, three times a day. Cause that's all his mom could afford. You know, with three teenagers, four teenagers, trying to put them to school, get them clothes, find a place to live. It was like, I didn't grow up with that. You know, so I don't know. I have no experience with that. I grew up in a household where if dad got promoted in the Navy, fucking A, let's party.
Yeah.
If dad got passed over, fucking A, let's commiserate.
Yeah.
You know, so for me,
right,
it was like everything sort of revolved around alcohol. Right. There was just that's just totally how it was, you know, 60s and 70s. I mean, my old man got, when he got promoted to chief, we were in Hawaii. I was there, because I was like a baby. But I've heard the story enough times. He got rubber legged drunk, so they took his keys. He wanted to go, so he walked across the street, hot wired a fire truck, and took it home.
Oh, well, that's one way to do it.
So that's the family. You know, that's the kind of environment that I thought everybody had. You know, it's like,
this is part of the thing.
It's kind of like, in my hometown, it's like if the O'Briens were at my house, we were at your house having a, you know, the kids were having a good time.
Definitely.
If the open houses were at my house, we were at the open house. Or, you know, my parents were over there, the kids were over here. Who wants to hang out with their fucking parents, right? But it's like, we're doing the same fucking thing. We picked the lock on the liquor cabinet. We're drinking shots just like they are.
Yeah. Make sure you put water in it so they can't tell.
We weren't even that fucking smart.
Let's go to this thing, see if there was any comments real quick before you fucking put...
Sure. Comments or questions are welcome.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want.
Did the whole like Facebook Live deal. And usually it's just two people saying, hey, what's up? And then people watch this shit later on in the, like, after it's already been out. That's the funny thing. Because I do these so sporadically now. And I used to do this show at the Comedy Store on Fridays. And it was kind of like a good set time. But I didn't really go do the live thing much there. Let me rephrase that. I always went live, but I barely ever was able to read the comments. So, all right, cool. Any questions, concerns, complaints? Nothing at the moment.
Right on.
So there's that. So that's cool. Fucking A.
Yeah, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming over.
Oh, dude, it was a blast.
And you got like a
Sorry about being late. They just
don't sweat it. That's fine.
All right, just. I had to find a place to park. So I circled the block like three times, and I saw somebody pull out. I'm like, I'm taking that spot.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's the way this block works, because people are always coming and going no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's how it really works out, man. No, I appreciate you coming through. Is there any like social media platform stuff you'd like to put out there?
Or? I have a Twitter account. I never use it. I don't know how to use it. I'll get myself in trouble on it.
Yeah.
I'm not very strong on Instagram. I have one that's you see like three photos would be up there. But again, I haven't taken the time to really work that out, but I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, I'm on Facebook and doing some shows coming up when I get back from vacation. Cool. The wife doesn't know it yet, but I've been asked to do a show up in, I'm in Phoenix when we're there.
Nice.
I asked her, I'm like, would you mind if I did a show? You're going to leave me at home with both the dogs on vacation? You're going to be three blocks from your cousin's house. You can just, you know.
What? Where's the show at?
I don't even know. I haven't got all the details yet. It's just one of the... I did it during the pandemic when we were closed. I was doing a lot of Zoom.
Not
because Zoom Zoom turned out to be actually beneficial to me. I met people
from all over the
country who have reached out. Are you ever coming out too?
Because we
thought you were really good and we would like to have you on the show. I'm like, I'm not going on the East Coast anytime soon. But one of the girls was from Phoenix and she asked when I was coming out to Phoenix. And I said, next week. She said, great. How about Wednesday night? Okay. And so I'll get the details when I get out there and
fuck yeah.
We'll see. You know.
Well, I hope you kill that shit, man.
Yeah.
Anything you want to tell the people?
And then Ryan Tamo is gonna have me go down to San Diego with him for that Aztec Brewing.
Aztec Brewery is awesome. I love doing that one. Like sometime we're supposed to do it this month because like I was gonna close it out or headline it because I was on the first show. Mm-hmm. I closed out the first show and I was gonna do the anniversary show. So I was looking forward to doing that. But
something happened the dates got mixed up.
The Aztec Brewery is an awesome place. It's got like a really good fucking stage and they have bands and like all kinds of other shit there. And it's rare for them to have comedy. It's just a once a month thing. But there's like more than one manager, which kind of sucks, I guess. So somebody double booked something and then it got bumped a week or whatever, but that'll be cool because that means you'll probably be on that same show with me too.
Yeah, he wants me in June, in July or August.
July, okay.
Which is fine with me.
Fuck yeah.
Because he wanted me to go on the 20th, but I'm like, dude, I'm just back from vacation on the 17th. I haven't done laundry or unpacked yet. I might be a little sleepy. So, you know, but whatever. I don't care.
Fuck yeah.
And I told Ryan I drive because, you know, I don't drink, and some people like to drink when they're doing shows. Oh, yeah.
That's like the last time we went, I drove. Like,
I will be, I am more than, I tell Ryan every time we work together, do you need a ride home?
Yeah.
You know? But now that he's got the new baby, he's cut down his intake quite a bit, and he doesn't need a ride home. But I have no problem being the fourth person up at Corbin Bowl or the fourth person up at Liquid Zoo and hanging out till 1 o'clock and making sure that my friend gets home safe.
Yeah, you know? He's a good dude. I've been on a lot of his shows there, and with him, we did, whenever he tells that story about, because he always bitches about Vegas one time where he bombed in Vegas. So it was me, Uriah, Uriah Bloom, him, and him went, and he fucking, when that happened, crazy. Anyway.
But you know what? At least he bombed in Vegas.
Dude, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you got to bomb sometime.
Anybody can bomb at the Liquid Zoo.
On cancer material. That's the thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been kind of sad talking about that shit. But no, Ryan's a good dude. Anyway, follow Ryan Talmo. Yeah. He's on all the social medias.
Or as we affectionately call him, Valley Jesus.
Yeah, the Valley Jesus. Oh, shit. So, anything else?
No, man. It's been a blast. I really enjoyed myself. As I said, the hardest part about getting here was finding a fucking place to park. But other than that, my ways took me right here. I missed the turn the first time. I'm like, shit.
It's easy to do. Spaz looks like he doesn't want to say anything.
Spaz has been chilling the whole time.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it. We'll knock it on the head, mate. So for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never, ever, ever forget, Obi loves you. Always.